Greg Wyshynski, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. We're going to do a little exercise.
Okay.
You have to rank these five things named after Utah. Number one, Johnny Utah from right. Point Break.
Okay.
Number two, the two Utes from My Cousin Vinny. Number three, Utah Street in Baltimore, where Camden Yards is. Number four, of course, the running Utes of Utah, the University of Utah. And number five, whatever this new hockey team is going to be named, how would you rank these, sir?
I mean, I'm a hockey guy. Clearly, hockey shoots to a numero uno when it comes to Utah. By the way, I file my complaint here. I think there's a lot of good names out there for this Utah team. I'm a big fan of the Utah Swarm. That's not one of the names they're even talking about yet, Clinton. You got the Beehive State. You know, you swarm on defense if you're in the NHL. It just seems like a real good fit. But unfortunately, it's not one they're even talking about yet.
In all seriousness, though, the last game at Mullet Arena, what was it like there at that scene?
It was sad, but also a little surreal.
It has always been a privilege and an honor to welcome you to Coyotes Hockey. Of course, we have entered uncharted territory here. The spectacle of potential relocation is real. For long-suffering Coyote fans, this is yet another tough pill to swallow. Their pain.
Like, you've not really lived until you've seen people wearing multicolored Kachina Coyotes jerseys openly weeping as they play James Brown's I Feel Good over the loudspeaker.
Not a dryer in the building, I can tell you that.
That's a churning in the pack down there.
You know, maybe change up the post-game playlist if your team is relocating after the game.
It's sad, sad day, and sad for the players. Everybody loves playing here. That's the saddest part about it. Hockey works here in the desert. It works in Arizona.
The Coyotes fans are clearly the people who loved this team the most. Perhaps the only people that love them at all. And anytime you see a franchise ripped away from those fans, it's a sad situation. But obviously, when it comes to the Arizona Coyotes, it's a lot of pain that these fans have felt over the last few decades. And also when it comes to these Arizona Coyotes, oddly enough, there's still a little bit of hope for the future.
On April 10th, the Arizona Coyotes put out a video signaling their commitment to stay in Phoenix for the long term. 2 days later, they told their players the team was moving to Utah. Today, our Greg Wyshynski takes us behind the scenes of one of the most peculiar franchise relocations that we've ever seen, and helps us make sense of this sudden change in fortune for Arizona hockey fans. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Wednesday, May 8th. This is ESPN Daily. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, Greg, the NHL playoffs are in full bore, but we're not here today to talk about Connor McDavid or Alex Hyacinth's New York Rangers. Instead, you have an inside track on a team that's not even in the playoffs. That would be the Arizona Coyotes. What is going on here for the layman who has no idea?
Well, after 15 years that included a team bankruptcy, multiple owners that included the National Hockey League itself, a city kicking a team out of their own arena, 2 years spent in a college hockey barn that seats 5,000 people on the campus of Arizona State University. Oh, and by the way, some of the losingest hockey in the league over the last like 25 years, the Arizona Coyotes, well, they are no more. They are relocating to lovely Utah.
Can we go through that? Most people have no idea what you're talking about. And I would argue that a lot of people that consider themselves regional or parochial NHL fans might not even know those internecine details themselves.
Well, the story of the Coyotes is a sordid one, and it's a kind of a sad one. You know, they moved from Winnipeg to Phoenix in 1996. They were originally supposed to move from Winnipeg to Minnesota. That fell through. Phoenix was the kind of fallback position. They played at the arena of the Phoenix Suns for a while, and then in 2003, their owner moved them to a new arena in Glendale, which was away from their fan base, and their attendance suffered. In 2009, their team owner at that point, Jerry Moyes, he put them into bankruptcy. So Canadian billionaire Jim Balsillie, the CEO of BlackBerry, go see the movie BlackBerry. You'll see actual scenes from this situation in the movie, wanted to relocate them to Hamilton, Ontario. So the NHL stripped Moyes of his ownership and owned the team until 2013.
Goodness.
Alex Morello, who's a name you're going to hear a lot, bought the team in 2019. The first Latino owner in the NHL, according to the league. He took full control in 2023. Then, after a decade of battles with the city of Glendale, the city opted not to renew the Coyotes' lease in 2021. They finally landed at Mullet Arena, the incredibly named Mullet Arena in Tempe, Arizona, playing in a college hockey barn while they tried to build a new permanent home in Tempe.
I understand that there's a certain amount of comedic value to this in the context of all of the different moves. But, you know, in reality, I think back being an NHL fan through those days and Phoenix kind of always being, I don't want to say a joke, but all of the things you just named, not exactly healthy operation for a franchise in any league, never mind a league like the NHL at the time. How do you just feel right now in terms of like, do you feel bad for that market on any level?
I do feel bad for that market. You know, they've had to deal with inept ownership and bad financial dealings for a really long time. I feel bad because there had been so many moments in which it looked like it might not get to this point. The real turning point for the franchise, though, was last year. They were playing at Mullet Arena. It was a temporary fix. The team thought that they had a beat on a new home in Tempe. They were going to build a $2.1 billion entertainment complex that included an arena on a landfill nobody wanted. And they're thinking the public would love to approve our plan for a $2.1 billion entertainment complex on a landfill, except they didn't. All three referendums on the public ballot in April 2023 did not pass. And at that point, the Coyotes' relocation seemed to be starting to pick up momentum behind the scenes.
Now it's Alex Morello, as you mentioned. He's the one left holding the bag here. How does this all play out regarding him and his stewardship and the new ownership?
Yeah, so Alex Morello became majority owner of the Coyotes in 2019. He purchased the controlling share from Andrew Barraway for what Forbes reported was a sale price of around $300 million. He's the son of Cuban immigrants, but there was always sort of this tension involved with his ownership of the team. In particular, a lot of criticism about the financial dealings that the Coyotes had. There was a lot of talk around the league about what the Coyotes did from a, let's call it, creative accounting perspective. My colleague Emily Kaplan and I wrote the story about the Coyotes moving to Utah that included a lot of detail about some of the shadier financial things that the Coyotes were known for. They would try to stay at lesser hotels than the collective bargaining agreement stipulates for their players. They cut corners whatever they could. They removed the printer and copying machine from the coach's room. The team was notorious for not paying its bills on time or in full. We had multiple sources tell us that the Coyotes were either late paying their hotel bills or in some cases just crossed out the total and paid a different amount. Local businesses would come to the team seeking payments and would be offered a fraction of what was owed, and then there would be a negotiation down to take less than what was actually owed. This was a commonplace thing, apparently, for the team, and a lot of others around the league took note of it. There was a lot of criticism from the city of Glendale about financial goals not being met and maybe bills not being paid, and There was a distrust that was kind of established between him and the city, I think. And the crux of it was the city of Glendale grew tired of the Coyotes. They just felt like they could do better financially not having the Coyotes in their arena. The city finally decided not to renew the team's lease in 21 for the 21-22 season. And that sent him and the Coyotes looking for a new home at Mullett Arena. And it was viewed as a temporary home, you know, until they could find a more permanent one through the acquisition of land in the Tempe or Phoenix area. What was sort of the breaking point here for the Coyotes was the fact that the NHL saw the timeline change when the vote in 2023 failed. They started to really worry about things like Stanley Cup playoff games being played at Mullett Arena. God forbid a Stanley Cup final game being played at a 5,000 seat college hockey arena. And the Coyotes' new plans to try to win land through a land auction this summer, you know, the NHL said that's great and all, but the timeline of that new plan would have the team potentially playing in Mullett Arena at a minimum until 2027. And so the NHL kind of didn't want that to happen. The players had been complaining. The National Hockey League Players Association had been vehement about not wanting the team in that college hockey arena anymore. So the NHL hatched a plan to relocate the Coyotes to Utah while also leaving the door open for them to potentially reactivate in the Phoenix market.
What finally made Morello get out of the way?
Well, to the NHL's credit, they had to come up with a way to get the franchise away from Morello without him getting real litigious about it. I talked to some people during the NHL All-Star weekend back in February when some of this Utah scuttlebutt was really starting to crop up. And there was this notion of if you tried to use, say, like the NHL Constitution to find a bylaw that would allow you to take the franchise from the Morellos and hand them to Ryan and Ashley Smith in Utah, well, this process could get kind of messy. So what Gary Bettman and the NHL did was pretty ingenious. They found a way to say, okay, we want to move the Coyotes to Utah, but we also want to give you the chance to own the Coyotes again. So they built a 5-year window into the deal with Morello, where if he can build this arena that would require him to win this land auction in the summer within the 5 years, and then he alerts the NHL a year and a half before wanting to reactivate the Coyotes, he can get the franchise back. So the Coyotes are technically dormant right now. If he can build the arena within 5 years to the NHL's satisfaction, and there are benchmarks built into this deal where they have to be, you know, hit at certain times, then he can reactivate the Coyotes franchise. He owns the IP. He owns the team name. He owns the uniforms. He owns the records. He owns all of it. But he's got to have to satisfy the NHL with regards to building this arena in order to reactivate the franchise.
I don't want to be crass about this, but for the first majority Latino owner, for this thing to end this way, when we're talking about the NHL being a league that is trying to stress what's happening from a diversifying standpoint, it just feels a little unfortunate that ultimately this is what feels like it came out of the situation. And is that even fair to Morello or his family?
I think it's fair from a business perspective. On the Latino owner front, I think you have a good point, which is that it's tough to leave this market. The demographics are such that the NHL saw this market as a way to expand their fan base into different demographics. I think the Coyotes, to their credit, did a really good job with outreach to those communities. They had Spanish language announcing for their games, for example. So I think they deserve credit for trying to make inroads in a lot of ways while they were in that market. But the thing about their relocation and what was underscored by the NHL in their conversations with Alex Morello was that even if you felt it was unfair to this ownership group to not get another crack at this thing and do the land auction gambit this summer and try to see if this was going to be the permanent solution they'd be searching for, it wasn't fair to the players anymore to have them playing in this arena. And one of the things that Commissioner Gary Bettman and Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly stressed to Morello in their conversations with him was the length of a typical NHL player's career versus how many years this franchise will have had to spend in a college-sized arena until they found a more permanent solution.
Can you look the players in the eyes and tell them that you have certainty that we can get this arena built by a certain time? And I said, no. And then they said, it's not fair to the players. It's not fair to the families or hockey operations, because most of these players, their career usually lasts between 4 or 5 years. They've already played 2 years in Mullet. Another 3, 4, 5 more years would basically be their entire career. And when I first heard that, it really shocked me. I hadn't thought about it that way.
And once they kind of spelled it out that way, that they were maybe comfortable for 3 or 4 years at the most, but when you start thinking ahead to 2027, 2028, and how unfair it is to the players that commit long-term to this franchise to be in this situation, that actually resonated with Morello. He said it's something that he really had to consider and almost turned him around a little bit on the idea of making the franchise dormant and allowing the NHL to move it to Utah.
Transactionally, we've got Morello, who has decided he's going to clear the way for the NHL to make a move. And then we've got Ryan Smith, who's obviously already got a reputation of doing good things. How does this actually happen, though, from a point-to-point standpoint in terms of how the actual team gets handed from one group to another?
Right. So the NHL goes to Morello and they said, we're tired of the mullet thing. We think it's time to think about moving the team. And then they go to Smith and they say, hey, we have a team. Are you ready to take on an NHL team? And he says yes, and away we go. So Ryan Smith and Alex Morello never actually spoke during this negotiation. The entire thing was brokered by the National Hockey League. Alex Morello comes out with $1 billion from the deal. Ryan Smith pays $1.2 billion to acquire the franchise. What makes this unique is that Ryan and Ashley Smith aren't getting an expansion team, but they kind of sort of are. Like, the Coyotes are not moving to Utah. The franchise is moving to Utah. The Coyotes' name, the jerseys, the IP, the records, everything else, that stays with Alex Morello for at least the next 5 years. But this franchise will be permanently in Utah under the ownership of Ryan and Ashley Smith. They get the players. They get the draft picks that the team has acquired through the years. They get the hockey operations department, including general manager Bill Armstrong. The business department, that stays with Morello. So essentially, they don't get the benefit of an expansion draft, but they do get the benefit of a collection of really good young players, a lot of draft picks, and most importantly, a ton of cap space.
You know, Greg, a couple of weeks ago on this show, we were commemorating the 10-year anniversary of Donald Sterling being forced out of the NBA, which set a precedent for all leagues in this country and continent for that matter. But this situation is different because Morello isn't being accused of misconduct, just mismanagement. And that would suggest the NHL had less leverage here than in some of these other circumstances that we've seen. It's a bit remarkable that Morello ultimately just went along with it.
I would say on the scale of sleight of hand to Jedi mind trick, this was a Jedi mind trick. I can't believe they pulled this off, to be honest with you. Like, the idea that they were able to relocate the Coyotes without Morello fighting tooth and nail to try to keep this team. I think there's serious doubt, not only within the NHL, but in the hockey community, that this arena deal is going to happen. I mean, he's going to have to acquire the land this summer, which is going to become even more difficult because now that the Coyotes are off the board, you're going to have other groups trying to bid on that land, no longer worried about having the appearance of chasing away the Coyotes. If he wins the land, he's going to have to work with different municipalities to do everything from, you know, create infrastructure, including like how to get water to the site, to also pulling off the retail and the housing and everything else he's trying to build along with an arena. The odds are long that this project is even going to happen, but yet he believes in it to the point where he went along with this idea of the Coyotes moving to Utah, the NHL deactivating the franchise and giving him a 5-year window to pull this thing off.
This is a question I generally do want to ask because I feel like a lot of people might be coming to this franchise for the first time and be like, oh, this sounds like a disaster forever. Greg, what do you think are some of the high moments of this franchise, the Coyotes, just period, in their history since they've been in Phoenix?
They had nice uniforms.
Oh.
No, man, like this team has won 2 playoff rounds since 2002. Like, that's the kind of moribund franchise that we're talking about here. And both of those playoff wins were in the same season. I mean, the team is known for early on having some really famous players playing for it. Jeremy Roenick, Keith Tkachuk. They had Nikolai Khabibulin. They had Ilya Bryzgalov. They had a number of really well-known players to wear the jersey. But ultimately, the team's legacy is a legacy of losing with no results. And by that, I mean in the draft lottery era of the National Hockey League, never actually having the first overall pick at any point, despite all this losing. And oh, by the way, couldn't they have used it the year that Arizona's favorite son, Austin Matthews, was available in the draft? My God, could you imagine what would be different now if Austin Matthews, native to Arizona, a hockey player because of his Coyotes fandom, had ended up with that franchise?
Something tells me that if the Phoenix Coyotes come back or the Arizona Coyotes come back in 4 years, that staunch group of Coyote loyalists just might not be there.
Well, it's also one of those deals of, like, you know, the Coyotes name is a little bit tainted at this point. The Tempe vote in 2023 was as much a, you know, rejection of the Coyotes as it was anything else. I've always been sort of baffled at the idea that if this team gets reactivated, you'd do it under a moniker and under an owner that had such disappointment and failure towards the end of its run there. But I will say this, when it comes to reactivating a team in the Phoenix market, the NHL wants to be there. It may not necessarily be a reactivated Coyotes team under Alex Morello's ownership in 5 years, but I think the NHL, and in particular Gary Bettman, has been very clear that they intend to come back to the Phoenix market at some point. Oh, and by the way, if you're looking for some indication that he's being truthful on that, Gary Bettman has fought more than anyone thought anyone should fight to keep this franchise in Arizona over the last 15 seasons.
Coming up, Arizona's behind us. Guess what's in front of us? Utah. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. So all of this, the scorched earth left behind in Arizona, the mismanagement by ownership, the distrust between the Morello family and the league, it manifests in the NHL brokering a deal with Ryan Smith. This sounds like something out of a TNT drama starring an actor whose name I don't know, but whose face I recognize. We do know Smith, however, from his ownership of the Utah Jazz and, of course, the MLS club, Real Salt Lake. How did he become the guy here again?
Well, he's a guy that likes hockey who has a lot of money, which endears him greatly to the National Hockey League. You know, Smith's heart belongs to Utah. He was at Brigham Young University during the 1990s. He loves sports. He loves innovation. He dropped out of college in his early 20s to start an online survey software company called Qualtrics with his dad and his brother and a college roommate. Stop me if you heard this before. This plucky little software company eventually was sold for $8 billion to SAP in 2018. Smith and his wife Ashley became billionaires and founded the Smith Entertainment Group. Their first foray into professional sports began in 2020 when they bought the Utah Jazz as well as the downtown arena in Salt Lake for $1.66 billion. As you mentioned, he partnered with David Blitzer to purchase Real Salt Lake City. The Smiths are passionate about injecting energy into Utah as the state goes through a growth spurt. And a big part of that energy is bringing pro sports, in particular now, a National Hockey League team to the area.
Of course, plenty of cities would love to have an NHL team, so that's not surprising for Salt Lake. But on the flip side, what exactly does the NHL find appealing about this particular market?
They like the market because they see it as sort of a capital for winter sports. They like the fact that there's going to most likely be a Winter Olympics played in Salt Lake City in the next decade or so. And as we know, the NHL is going back to the Olympics in 2026 in Italy after missing out on the last couple of Olympics and having their players not participate. So they see that as a huge marketing boom, especially a U.S.-based Winter Olympics, for example. But honestly, the reason that this team, the Coyotes, is in Utah is very much right place, right time, right owners. Ryan and Ashley Smith had been laying the groundwork with the National Hockey League for multiple years. They had an arena that was ready, and they had a market that they were pretty bullish on, and all that added up to the Coyotes ending up there.
Greg, last question I'll ask you is, if this were available, if this were an option, I understand it's not, but do you or do you not think that the Utah Coyotes is actually the best team name they could have?
There are Coyotes in Utah. I've looked into it.
Yes,
there are. Now, everybody's going to have their own favorites, and I have two favorites in particular. One is the Utah Outlaws, which is one of the names that have allegedly been trademarked by the Smith Entertainment Group. And I think that's kind of a dope name. But the one I really liked was the Mammoth, because Mammoth is like a cool mascot. If you want to make payroll in your first year, you could do it just by selling cute little plush mammoths through your team store. You could have Ray Romano from Ice Age do your voiceover for the team video.
Oh, look, they're skating around the ice. Look at the Utahs go.
It'd be great. It's all there for you. But I don't know if Mammoth is going to end up being the name or not.
Goodbye, Greg.
Thanks.
You can read Greg Wyshynski and Emily Kaplan's reporting Inside the Coyotes Move to Utah at the link in today's episode description. By the by, I'll be out a few days on assignment, but our friend David Dennis Jr. will be in to steer the ship while your boy is away. I'm Clint Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.